Well, good morning, Worth Baptist Church. What a joy it is for Wendy and I to be back here. Spoke on the Word of God there and talked about a snake story. And I heard this morning that Brother John had gotten bitten by a snake twice this morning already. So he wants to meet you after church. He's got something he wants to show you, Ms. Burks. And no, just kidding. But so we had a great time. And somebody handed me the mic. They said, "Now, Brother Burks, this is the Scott Pauley mic." And I said, "Well, amen. I like Scott Pauley. He's a dear friend of mine. And we preach the same book. We preach the same Jesus." And I've got another reason why Scott Pauley is a really good friend of mine. I called him a few weeks ago. He was here. And I said, "Brother Scott, you got one job besides preaching God's word while you're there. And that is to get Brother Earl out on the golf course and wear him out so I can beat him the following week." And he did. He wore him out. And I was on the winning team in the golf tournament we had. And Brother Earl lost. And I'm so sorry for that. And so thank you, Brother Scott. Thank you so much. And you're my dear friend now, and I praise the Lord for you. What a joy it is to be here. We love your pastor. We're excited for them to have some time away. And he called me and asked me, "Will I come?" And I said, "Absolutely, Pastor." And he's been a real friend to Wendy and I. And we thank God for it. And we love this church. I tell you, we travel around the nation, And we're often telling people about the spirit of Worth Baptist Church. And I would like to add another voice to what Brother Barber said. I can't think of a greater place for revival to spark and revival to start in our land than Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. I believe that. I believe that. When you see the three pastors in this auditorium on a weekly basis and serving the Lord together and the fine people, it's just wonderful. And Brother Raymond, we've been praying for you. Brother Barber, you and your dear wife, and we thank God for miracles. Amen? And cannot wait to spend a few moments with your dear wife today at the end of the service. It is a joy for us to be here. Turn to John chapter 14 in your Bible. John chapter 14. Those were words well said by Brother Barber earlier, and our thoughts and prayers ought to be, we ought to be praying for America. We ought to be praying. We ought to turn every care to prayer. Say that with me. Turn every care to prayer. We ought to turn every trial to thanksgiving. Say that with me. Turn every trial to thanksgiving. That's Bible. Amen? We live in a time, and it's a wonderful time to live in. I mean, to realize that the Lord is coming again, and it's sooner than it's ever been. And we could be on the final harvest days before He comes. And the opportunities are wonderful. And this morning, I want to talk to you about anxiety and how to put an end to anxiety. I understand anxiety is a very difficult thing. Stress and anxiety and people popping pills and looking for help and hope out of anxious situations. And what's going on in our nation doesn't help that. And the way people drive doesn't help that. But the Bible speaks directly to this issue of an anxious heart. And there might be somebody that can be helped today with this issue. But there's a whole lot of other somebodies outside of these walls that will display themselves in front of you this week, and you will sense they're struggling through their words with anxiousness. And we've got a gospel message to give each and every one of them. Amen? We've got the words and the sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ to help them. So if you're able to, let's stand together to read our passage in John chapter 14. And we will read responsively the first six verses. I will read verse 1. You help me with verse 2, 4, and 6 together. Let's read it. 1 John 14, verse 1, I'll read that, and then we'll read verse 2 together. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, we're thankful for the wonderful words of life. We thank you that you sent the way, the truth, and the life, and the door, so we could enter in to heaven, so we can enter into spiritual things and be connected once again with our wonderful God. We come this morning beseeching and asking that if there's somebody in the room that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today will be the day of their salvation. We pray, Holy Spirit, you speak inside, show them their need as I speak outside. And Father, we pray that this issue of an anxious heart, this issue of a troubled heart, would encourage the church family today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. When you look at this word, a troubled heart or an anxious heart, I'm reminded of Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness is another word. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. I got some good words for you this morning. The Bible, the definition for anxiety is a feeling of fear, worry, or unease that can be out of proportion to the situation. It can be triggered by specific events or be chronic and persistent. When I think of this problem that so many people have, and so many people go to CVS and Walgreens to get help for, the signs of a troubled heart, the signs of an anxious heart, the signs are sadness and grief, ranging from mild feelings of downheartedness to intense sorrow and despair. An anxiousness and fear, a nervousness, a sense of impending doom consume a troubled heart. I often say that when we live in fear, we're always asking the question, what if? What if? What if always, fear always says, what if? But faith always says, even if. I pray today that instead of responding out of fear and saying, what if? What if this happens? And what if that happens? We'll begin to meditate and pause and think and say, well, even if we've got a great God and we've got a book that's going to tell us some things. Amen. Even if. Anger and resentment come from anxiety. Confusion and doubt come from anxiety. Physical symptoms like headaches and stomach aches and changes in sleep patterns and loss of appetite and other serious health issues can come as a result of anxieties. The stages of a troubled heart begin with a triggering event. My daughter, when she was in high school, she went to the store for her mama. And we had just pulled in the driveway with my car, and she handed Hannah the keys to the van and said, honey, would you run up to Walgreens and pick mom up some laundry detergent? And honey, I'd like to take your car. I need to go visit a girl that needs some help. And so I got out of my car, or I hadn't got out yet. Hannah pulled out of the driveway, and before we realized it, I heard an awful crash. And I looked at my wife. I said, honey, that's got to be Hannah. She just left here. And sure enough, we found out real quick that a drunk driver going 55 miles an hour on a 45-mile-an-hour road got in the wrong lane and had a head-on collision with my daughter. And my daughter has had some anxious moments getting in cars. I'd just help her go to the car lots and find a new car. And she didn't want a little car because of that accident. There's some anxiousness with little cars. And so I helped her get a car, and we looked over some safety issues and helped my daughter through some of those things. And she's gotten a lot better. Thank the Lord for it. I think my wife got a little bit of anxiousness too. Oh, that could just be my driving, but that's another sermon. But a triggering event comes, and then negative thoughts and emotions, and then some behavioral changes begin to develop, like eating habits and sleep habits and social interaction. Isolation begins to happen. And then behavioral changes begin to happen, and functional impairment, daily activities and relationships are hindered. And then it can go all the way down to what we call clinical depression. And here are some things that we hear today that are, this is the root cause: PTSD, GAD, GAD, or general anxiety disorder, or social anxiety disorder, or panic attacks, or child anxiety. In the last 2 years, the ages of 5 to 11 children, the number of children showing up in the emergency room because of anxiousness has increased dramatically in our country. It's affecting our children. For every 100,000 children struggling, there's only one psychological person trained to even help them. I tell you, this is a real problem in our nation. And the Bible tells us some answers here. In fact, I want you to look at verse 1 again of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is speaking here. But I want you to look down at verse number 27. Jesus is still speaking. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Say the rest of that verse together. Ready? Go. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's bookends. At the beginning of the sermon, he says, let not your heart be troubled. At the end of the sermon, he says, let not your heart be troubled. And in between, there's a lot of wonderful truth that you can grasp onto here. You say, Brother Burks, why would Jesus be talking to his disciples in this message? Why would he be trying to help his followers in this chapter and the chapters even before it? Well, one reason was because he began to explain to them once again that he was going to die. He was going to go to a cross. He was going to take the sins of the world upon him and go to a cross and die for the sins of the world and be buried. And he promised he would rise again, but they didn't get any of that. And their hearts are troubled. In fact, one of them were going to betray him. In chapter 13, verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me here afterwards. Look at verse 37. Peter said unto him, Lord, chapter 13, Lord, why canst I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We got a betrayer, Judas. We've got a denier in Peter. And there's trouble. There's troubled hearts in this text. Their world was falling apart. And the Lord comes and says, let not your heart be troubled. I was reminded of this last night. I got back to the hotel room after being with the Sides family, who we love dearly, and turned on Fox News just for a moment, and Sean Hannity was going off, and he said, He said, let not your heart be troubled. That's the way he ends all of his broadcasts. But I tell you, those words mean more coming from the Lord than John Hannity. So why would he say, let not your heart be troubled? I want to give you three ways, the Prince of Peace. I want to give you three things that Jesus said here to help these men, and I can even add women in this group, of those who have a troubled heart, an anxious heart. What can really help me? I know you may already be dependent on some medication, and I'm not telling you to get off of those medications, but I am telling you the source for a troubled heart, the solution for a troubled heart is mentioned right here in our text from the words of Jesus Christ. What does he say? Look at verse chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, man, I want to tell you what. Number one, God has given his promises to those with troubled hearts. Amen. God has given his promises. He has given the promises of God for us who have troubled hearts. And you can take those to the bank. You can act on those. You can have faith in those. That even though things are going on, I know I have a Redeemer. I know I'm on my way to heaven. If that's true, then you've got the promises of God and you have partaken in those promises. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled, he says. And God has given us some promises, his promises, really cool ones, like a place called heaven. Really cool ones like, I'm coming to get you. I know things may get a little rougher than they were even yesterday, but we have a rescuer who is on the way. Glory to God. He is coming again. I like the song, just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight, just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Amen. Just a little while. We're all going home. Are you? I want you to go home. I want you to go to heaven. But you must receive the promise of God. You must. I think of verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not only, number one, did God give us his promises, but God gave us his presence. Amen? The very presence of God is promised during troubled heart times and during anxious times. Look at John 14. John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you, what's the next word? Another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. He said, I'm going to send another one just like me. Look at John 14, 26. But the comforter, he gives us his name, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at John 16, one couple chapters over, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus said, I'm going to send another one just like me, fellas, that's going to live inside of you, the Holy Ghost of God. This word another, there's two different words in the Bible for the word another. The first we notice is in Galatians 1, where it talks about another gospel, another that's not the same kind. And there are a lot of preaching that goes on, and there's a lot of churches that are open that they don't preach the pure gospel of the Word of God. They preach another gospel, another way to get to heaven besides Jesus and Jesus alone. Because that's the only way anybody can go to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. And so we see here in this passage, this word is not this another of a different kind. No. The second word, another, in the Bible is another of the exact same kind. And Jesus said, I'm sending one just like me to live inside you. Do you understand that we have the presence of God in our life, Christian? I know you're going to go through some anxious times. I know it can get troublesome at times. But we have His promises. We have His presence. We ought to take that to the bank. Amen. We ought to live by faith on those promises. And I'll tell you this. All of those promises point us to the person and His presence, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. In fact, if it doesn't point you to the person of Jesus Christ, your Christian life becomes mechanical. You just start doing things out of habit. You just start living life out of habit. But when you're living life by faith, it's not mechanical. It's a relationship. He's near. He's present. He is with you. And His promises are just as good today as when He said it in John chapter 14. It's for all cultures. It's for all times. It's just as good today. It has no expiration date to it. He said, I want to tell you, I got some good news for you, man, with troubled hearts. I got some promises you can hang on to. Jesus is coming again. You're going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. And I'm going to give you my presence on the inside of you. But He doesn't stop there. He gives one more. In verse number 27 of chapter 14. Where we read the book in a few moments ago, He says, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God, who gave us His promise, and God, who gave us His presence, and a God who gave us His peace. Amen. His peace. The Prince of Peace moved inside of you. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds stayed on Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank God for this passage. You know, the world wants to medicate peace with a bottle, but it's not found in a bottle. Peace is not found in 12 steps. Peace is not found in rules and character. Peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tom Brady has 5 Super Bowl rings, and when he got the 5th ring, he put it on his hand, and the reporter said, how does it feel? And Tom just looked at him with a blank stare and said, I don't know, feels like something's still missing. You can have 5 Super Bowl rings. You can have all the world has to give you, but if you don't have God's peace, my friend, the Holy Spirit's letting you know that right now as I speak on the outside. You need the peace of God. You need peace with God. But you can only have that through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We just celebrated the 4th of July on the 200th anniversary of our country. I was an 11-year-old boy, and I was at Ray and Sue Dobbins' house for a 5-day club. It was Independence Day the day before. But we finished that meeting up, that vacation Bible school type meeting. We finished it up on the 5th of July. And that day, all the boys and girls went upstairs for cookies and Kool-Aid. And Mike Reynolds said, if you don't know for sure that if you're going to go to heaven, if you've not trusted the promises of God, you stay down here because I want to help you. And all the boys and girls went upstairs and ate hot dogs and cookies and Kool-Aid. And I stayed downstairs. And Mike says, Ben, why'd you stay down here? I said, because I'm not sure I'm saved. And Mike took the Bible and opened up like we can do with you today. And I got down on a green carpet and a green couch. And I bowed my head. And I called on the Lord Jesus Christ 48 years ago. And I have been saved every day, every moment, every hour since, because His promises never fail. Never fail. You can't lose your salvation. He gave it to you. He imputed it to you. It's on your record. His righteousness was given to you, and He sealed it with His presence, the Holy Spirit of God, living in you. But if you've never done that, that peace is not there. If you've never done that, if you've never fully trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and His payment for your sin on the cross called Calvary, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and nothing else, plus nothing, minus nothing, I believe that Jesus died and He was buried and He rose again to pay for all of my sin and give me His righteousness. And I ask Him and Him alone to save me. If you've done that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you don't have a time where you can tell me you did that, maybe we need to talk today. Maybe you need to stay downstairs like I did. Maybe you need to hold back and come on forward and change your plan a little bit to settle on the promises of God and the presence of God and get the peace of God. You say, well, alcohol will fix my anxiety. Nope. Could somebody just please tell me one thing in the Bible alcohol does positive? You say, oh, it's for medicinal purposes. Yeah, it's already mixed in the medicines today. That excuse is gone. There's no good reason for alcohol. None. Especially the kind they make in our country. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. I am telling you, you may look for peace in all the wrong places, but the peace of God is found in the promises of God and found in the presence of God and found with the Prince living inside of you, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people who have that, would you say amen?
Amen.
And if you couldn't say it, let's get that settled today. Let this be the day of peace for you. Let this become the moment of peace. Let it rule in your heart. Would you stand together to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed? Holy Spirit, I ask you to walk around this place. I ask you for months now that you would work and that you would speak inside. And I believe your promises in the Word of God tell us that you'll do just that. I claim those verses that I've called out to you. And I pray that as I have shared my heart and my testimony, the words of God, if there's somebody in this room that cannot say that they've been justified by faith, they got saved by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they've added something to that, or they've tried to just figure out another way, another gospel by coming to church or turning over a new leaf or whatever it might be, or maybe it's just been continual living out of fear. I pray that as you speak inside and I spoke on the outside, I pray for a move of God in their hearts. And I pray they'll come forward for salvation today. Today will be the day of their salvation. As the instruments begin to play, the ushers are here, the help is here at the altar. If you need to be saved, just slip out where you are now. Christian, if you need to pray, would you come right now and pray? Would you lead the way? And as I said earlier, this is not just for you. You know somebody. You have a daughter. You have a son. You have a grandson. You have a friend. You have a neighbor. You have a coworker that is filled with anxiety. And you're going to hear it tomorrow when you get to work. And I just delivered to you what that they need delivered to them. And I pray that you'll come pray for them right now. You know that person all shook up like Elvis. Come on, let's pray for them. That's right. Come on. Let's come beseech them. Let's come intervene for them. And let's come asking the Lord to use us to be a blessing to them and help them. Because it's a heavy heart. It's a troubled heart. They need the Lord. That's good. Think through your contacts. Think through the people that you may see this week or talk to on the phone. Come on now. We got to help them. I just gave you the goods. I just gave you the message. It's real simple. It's real clear. It's even got bookends on both sides for a troubled heart. Let's take it to somebody else. Let's encourage somebody else with it today, tomorrow, this week, next week. Brother Barbara, I think we're going to have hundreds of opportunities maybe before the Lord comes to share this good news with everybody in Fort Worth, Texas. Would you empower us? Would you help us?